All right, good morning. Good morning. That's a little better. Thank you for being here today. Welcome to the Liberty Baptist Church this morning. Glad to have you here. If you can, let's all stand. We're going to sing America, or Beautiful for Spacious Skies. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, or amber waves of grain, or purple mountain majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful for heroes proof, liberating strife, who more than self their country love, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine.
Good to have you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we ask you to bless this day. We ask you, Lord, to be with Brother Nicholas as he preaches in a little bit. Lord, if there is one lost in here or in children's church, that they'd hear the word of God and get saved this morning. Bless the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. My country, 'tis of thee. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues await, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break the sound. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King.
It's always a privilege to have folks visit with us. If you're here for the first time, or the first time in a long time, if you just slip your hand up for a moment, our ushers would like to come by and give you a visitor's card and package. I know we have some folks with us. Brother Moss, we have some young folks right here in the middle. They're shy, right straight in there. Grandma, yes. Yeah, we have some. Anyone else here for the first time? The first time in a long time. Thank you, Brother Moss. Good to have all of you visiting with us today. Let me make a couple announcements, then we're going to honor our military. We always appreciate, again, Liberty Baptist Church has a lot of folks at Liberty Baptist Church that have either still in the military now or been in the military in the past. We do appreciate that. We'll be honoring them in just a moment. But again, the prayer list we've been passing out, I'll have some on the back pew again this evening. But the folks to keep in prayer, especially this week, Mrs. Milliken had a procedure done earlier this week. That was on Wednesday. And then Mrs. Hauser had a procedure done on Thursday. Both of them are at home and doing well, but to keep them in prayer, Mrs. Hauser especially, hers was more invasive, so she's been in quite a bit of pain since then. So if you keep her in prayer, we'd appreciate it. If you have someone or something that needs to go on the prayer list, if you'll just let me know, I will add that. And if it's something going on this week, we'll put it on the ladies' prayer chain. Mrs. Milliken passes around. It goes to 15 or 20 of our ladies, and that way they can be praying for whatever the need is that you might have. Don't forget the regular stuff going on this week and then the stuff that's not so regular. What I mean by that is tonight we're back to our regular service at 6 o'clock for the evening service. Brother Nichols is speaking of end times, and that will be tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night is usually our church service, but this week, because of the fact that we have a special speaker and a youth meeting at the end of the week, our Wednesday night service will not be a Wednesday night service. Wednesday will be our soul winning, so Wednesday will be 6:45. That is our soul winning, and then Thursday will be our usual Wednesday night service. Will be on Thursday. It starts at 7:30. We have Dr. Jeff Owens will be coming in to speak for us on Thursday evening. So that will be our Wednesday night service. So if you show up Wednesday night at 7:30, you'll just simply show up in the middle of soul winning. And if you show up Thursday night at 6:45 for soul winning, you'll be early for church. And so keep that in mind. And if you know of someone that's coming, let them know that, again, Thursday night, 7:30. Then Friday, we'll be over at Texas Baptist, where we are hosting the youth conference. But because they have a gymnasium, we're going over there to use their facilities. So we'll be over there Friday at 7. And Dr. Jeff Owens will be speaking that evening. And then we'll have something to eat after the service. And then Saturday starts at 10 a.m., we'll have a preaching service in the morning, then have lunch, and then have another preaching service in the early afternoon. And then we're going to be doing what they call blitz volleyball, which is just it's a matter of score point. Get the team that scores, the other team runs off the court, and another team runs on. So we'll try to get some exercise for our young folks. And again, all ages are welcome to come on Friday or Saturday. But that is over at Texas Baptist, Dr. Keith Bell, or Brother Keith Bell. So we'll be there on Friday and Saturday. And then next week, Brother Nick Suttmeyer will be speaking for us in Sunday school, church, and Sunday night. So we'll be looking forward to that. He's one of our missionaries to Mexico. We appreciate Brother Nick and Miss Patty. They'll be here next weekend. But again, this week the services are flipped. So please keep in mind, Wednesday night will be our soul winning. Thursday night will be our church service. Brother Price, are we ready? Let's have all, if you're either in the military now or you've served in the military in the past, if you'll come down front, we'd like for you to come right down front. We have something to give to you, and we want to recognize you this morning. So all of our past and present military, if you'll come down front. First, let's give these men and women a hand. And if you'll just hang down front for a second, we have something for you. Flags, Air Force folks, that's Air Force folks. Charlie Price is including that. this time, we're going to skip ahead. Normally, we would have had a song right then, but instead, we're going to have the offering. So, ushers, if you'll come down front.
While they're coming, while the ushers are coming, we appreciated all of the military people here, but if you're a spouse of a military person, would you stand? If you're husband or wife of a military person, would you stand? Let's give them a hand. A lot of times they don't get recognized, but they do a lot of behind the scenes, as you will, keeping the home front going whenever the military personnel has gone off to remote or TDY or war or whatever it is. They get to be mom, dad, finance guy, you name it. Try to keep the kids from killing each other while mom or dad is gone. So they have a lot more duties to do while they're gone, and definitely it's not a fun time because you lose your partner, and then you have to take up all those extra duties. So we definitely appreciate them. Let's go ahead and pray for the offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for the opportunity we have to be here this morning, Lord, and thank you for the veterans that were here today and for their spouses, and thank you for this opportunity we have to give, and pray that the offering will help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Price, are we doing that? Was there something on the screen while we were passing? I wasn't paying attention. Did they put all the folks in uniform while I was doing that? Okay, I thought there was, but he asked me about the video, and I said, I think they did it while we was passing it out, but I was busy trying not to trip on stuff. So some of you noticed some of our folks do not look quite like they did back then. Hey. Some of them are like Brother Block. They have, you know, their chest is sunk into their drawers, and so, but again, some of our folks, I know Brother Craig had, even up almost till he passed, he could always put his uniform back on, but that is not true of all of us. I cannot wear the clothes that I wore back then. I was never in the military, but most of us cannot put on our clothes we wore when we was 18 or 19 or 20, but again, we do appreciate all of the young men and women who are now older men and women who faithfully served. We appreciate that.
All right. Am I a soldier of the cross? Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and earn the pain, supported by thy word. Someone made this statement. I believe it to be a true statement. Only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you and me. That would be Jesus and the American soldier. On a battlefield one day, the charge was given to a soldier in a land so far from home. To climb the hill meant death was surely waiting. Determined, he decided to press on. In his mind, he pictured people living in freedom, all because of the price that he would pay. His life, a sacrifice by his own choosing. But oh, what a victory that day. He took the hill, a faithful soldier. He took the hill. Now the battle's over. Our flag was raised. The price was paid. He took the hill. His task fulfilled. On a battlefield for souls, the charge was given to a soldier in a land so far from home. Calvary's climb meant death was surely waiting. Determined, he decided to press on. In his mind, he pictured people living in heaven. All because of the price that he would pay. His life, a sacrifice of his own choosing. But oh, what a victory that day.
Time to shut it off if you haven't already.
All right, fellas, I noticed you were putting the names of all the people up on the screen. If you're able, can you go ahead and put the rest of them up? We started something before you finished, and I didn't want to overlook anybody. I don't know what's happening, so you're going to have to. Okay, go ahead all the way through. All right, let's give them a hand now again. Amen. Thank you. You know the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, right? Well, let me explain it in case there's some that don't. Memorial Day, which is the 30th of May, you know, they change everything now to give you a day off, extra day for the weekend, so it might, Memorial Day might be the 27th, whatever, but the day of Memorial Day is May the 30th. Now, Memorial Day is when we remember those who have fallen on the field of battle, those who've been killed. It started, originally it was called Decoration Day, and how it started was loved ones of Confederate soldiers who had fallen during the Civil War started going out and decorating their graves on that particular day, and it became Dedication Day, and later Memorial Day for all of us, for the soldiers who had fallen on the field of battle. Veterans Day, on the other hand, is what you saw here a while ago, is for people who have served in the military but are still alive. And so Veterans Day actually started right after World War I. It was called Armistice Day. It was on the 11th of November, the 11th day, the 11th hour, 11 o'clock, 11 a.m., and there was another 11 somewhere. What was it? I didn't say that. 11th month. Yeah, the 11th month, 11th day, and the 11th hour. And that was when the armistice that ended World War I went into effect, and then it became Veterans Day. And so thank you to all of you who have served. And we're very appreciative, and we have our freedom, what freedom we have left, because of you, and we thank you for it very much. Now, let me straighten a couple of things out here. The book Brother Taylor was using to lead the singing out of is a book that has the wrong title in the, and he tried to give you the right title, but he missed it by two words. The first song that we sung, the name of the song is not "O Beautiful for Spacious Skies." That's what the book says, because the people who put the book together got it wrong. He said it sometimes called America, and it is. The real name of that song is America the Beautiful. Now, the song, the second song we sung, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, that was a song that we, the tune of it, we ripped off from the English. It's the tune to God Save the King, King now, I guess. Used to be Queen, now it's the King. So somebody took that and said, well, we ought to have a song by that, to that title, to that tune. And so we do. My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 27. Boy, the Lord cooled it off for us a day or two ago, didn't he? Acts chapter 27, and we're going to read a rather lengthy passage this morning. I guess that's all right if we'll go to the house of God to hear the Word of God. And so Acts chapter 27, and we're going to start with verse 9 and read all the way through the rest of the chapter, through verse 44. So notice what happens here. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of and ship, but also of our lives. So Paul warns them now, if we take off now, we're going to get in trouble. Nevertheless, verse 11, the centurion, this is the soldier that was in charge of Paul and some others, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. He got the word of the experts, the master and owner of the ship. You know what an expert is? X means a has-been, used to be, and you know what a spurt is. Yeah, drips under pressure. Experts, that's what I think of most of them, and that's what I think of this bunch, as you'll see when we finish reading the story. But, so Paul had warned them, now we're going to have, Paul didn't know all about the weather, but he knew the one who knows about the weather and who controls the weather. But the experts said, oh, it'd be all right. So the soldier believed experts. And verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part, get that, the more part, advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Now, here what you have is the soldier took the word of the majority, the more part. If you knew how many times in the Bible the majority was wrong, it might scare you. So, he had what the expert said, he had what the majority said, and now, verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Here we have the circumstances that looked favorable. I mean, the south wind's blowing softly. Man, let's get in that ship and go. I mean, so the soldier had three things that said go. He had the word of the experts. He had the majority. He had the circumstances, the situation at the time. So he said, Paul don't know what he's talking about. He's soon to find out different, though. Notice now verse 14. Verse 13 tells you, boy, the south wind was blowing softly and the circumstances were favorable and all that. But, verse 14, not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And by the way, the word tempest there in verse 18, that's where William Shakespeare got the title for that story he wrote, The Tempest. I can see you were impressed by that. Verse 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. You know, I read that and I think that might not have been a good idea. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I mean, the whole bunch thought, well, we're going to have a shipwreck and die. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. I try not to say I told you so to people, but if and when I do, I always think, well, that's what Paul said to these people, wasn't it? You should have listened to me. He goes on in verse 22 and says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. So the water's getting more and more shallow. That's dangerous if you're on a ship. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, they didn't show their true colors, you see. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. See, the people that were running the ship, they wasn't worried about all them other people on the boat. They were going to get off themselves, and Paul noticed it and told the centurion, you better stop that bunch. Verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. No, they just cut the lifeboat away. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. I'm going to speak to you this morning from this passage on the subject, what we need to make it through the storm. What we need to make it through the storm. Now, Father, here we are for the preaching of your word. And Lord, what a privilege it is and an honor. Now, Father, you know how I need your help this morning, and I pray for it. I pray that the Spirit of God might help me and give me the unction and power that I need to preach your word properly. Lord, I pray that you'll give me the attention of everyone, and I pray you'll help me to say what I ought to say. I pray especially if there are people with us this morning who have never had a time in their life when they personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray especially that you'd draw them to the Son of God and that they'd come to him and trust him as Savior today. And then I pray that the Word of God might be a blessing and a help to your people, those who are saved. Make the Word of God a blessing. Please help. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, "Thrice I suffered shipwreck." Thus, when Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians, he had already been through three shipwrecks. Now, he probably wrote 2 Corinthians before the events of Acts chapter 27 took place, which would mean that the shipwreck of Acts 27 is the fourth shipwreck that Paul was in. Now, this shipwreck in Acts 27 took place due to a terrible hurricane-type storm called Euroclydon, and probably the other shipwrecks that Paul was involved in had taken place because of storms as well. But I find a marvelous and wonderful thing about the shipwreck of Acts chapter 27. You see, verse 37 tells us that there were 276 people on board that ship which was wrecked in the terrible storm. But verse 44 says, "And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." I mean, in spite of the awfulness of the storm, in spite of the fact that the ship itself was torn to pieces by the rage of the storm, in spite of everything, not one single person of the 276 people on board that ship perished. Every single one of them made it safely to land. Now, I don't know if you realize what a remarkable thing this is. I have a book somewhere in my library. entitled Great Shipwrecks and Castaways. And this book tells probably of a dozen or so shipwrecks. Now, I don't think that there is one case where every person on ship that was wrecked was saved that is told about in that book. I don't think there was one case where everybody was saved. There were a few cases, several times, where there was only one or just a handful of people who were saved. I'm talking about being saved from their life being taken on board the ship. But in Acts 27, every person was saved. Now, there is a reason why the people in the account of Acts 27 were not destroyed by the storm that they faced. And that was this. Hear me. They had some things which enabled them to make it through the storm. Now hear me. Every human being is going to face some storms in life. And some of them may be so terrible that it looks as if there's no hope, just the way that this storm in Acts 27 looked, according to verse 20. It said all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I mean, they were got to the place where all of them thought they were going to die, except Paul. Now, some of you are facing storms now. Others have faced storms in the past. Others will face storms in the future. But everybody here will face storms. Now, it may come in the form of disease or sickness. It may come in the form of injury. It may come in the form of the death or sickness of a loved one. It may come in the form of family problems. It may come in the form of financial difficulties. It may come in the form of business reversals. It may come in the form of wayward children or any one of dozens of other things. But storms will come to every person. Now, when the storm comes, we can either be destroyed by the storm, or we can make it through the storm and maybe even learn something from it and be bettered by it. I've seen it happen both ways. It's been not quite 100 years, but almost 100 years in October of 1929 that the stock market crashed. Now, when that happened, many investors lost their investments and a great number of them committed suicide. See, the storm came and destroyed them. I've seen it in the lives of Christians. A Christian is serving the Lord, and then a storm comes, and they face a storm, and they quit serving the Lord. See, the storm destroyed them. But then I've seen those, in fact, some of them are here now, who made it through the storm and were even made better by the storm. I'm saying to you, friend, that you're going to, and I'm going to, all of us are going to face some storms in our life. The storm can either destroy us or we can make it through and maybe even be made better by the storm. Paul and the people on board the ship that he was on in Acts chapter 27 made it safely through the storm. And the reason is because there were some things which were true in the lives of these people which caused the Lord to see them through the storm. And dear friend, the things which this group of mariners had, which resulted in God seeing them through this awful storm, are things which you and I need when we face the storms of life. Now, using Acts 27 as our basis and guide, I speak this morning on the subject, what we need to make it through the storm. And so let me say then, number one, that what we need to know that we're God's. Now notice in verse 23, Paul is talking and he says to the people, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God." Now notice the next three words, "whose I am." Paul said of God, "whose I am." So Paul knew who he belonged to. He knew that he was God's child because he had trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior on the Damascus Road, which you can read about back in Acts chapter 9. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he got saved and became the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. And he was the worst persecutor that the church had ever seen up to that time. He was going to Damascus so he could persecute some Christians over there. Wasn't enough in Jerusalem for him to persecute, so he had to go to another city to persecute some more. And that's what he was on his way to do. But on the road going to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him with his soul. And ladies and gentlemen, from that day on, the Savior, from that day on the Damascus Road, until his death, Paul knew that he was God's. And because he was God's, he knew that nothing could happen to him without God's approval. Now, may I say to you that what was true of Paul is true of every child of God? Nothing can harm the child of God unless God allows it. And a loving Heavenly Father will never allow anything to happen to his child which is not ultimately worked together with everything else for the good of that person. It's what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, he didn't say that everything that happens will be good, but he said everything that happens will work together with everything else that happens. They'll all dovetail together so that in the end, all of it will be for the good of the child of God. So, dear friend, the first thing that you need, first thing I needed in order to face the storms of life is the knowledge that you're God's. Now, this is basic and foundational. Without this, the things that I'll say later in the sermon won't mean anything. Dear friend, if you're not saved, please hear me. You're a sinner just like I am. Now, you may not be the same, may not have committed the same types of sins, but you're a sinner as I am. Everybody you'll ever see till you see Jesus is a sinner. Now, we had a sin debt. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and that includes not only physical death, but what the Bible calls the second death, which is the lake of fire. Jesus came, the second member of the Godhead, God the Son, robed himself in human flesh, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, never committed a sin. Therefore, he did not owe that sentence of death like we do. But he died. He didn't die for himself. He had no sin to die for. But Christ died for us, the Bible says. He paid the penalty that I owe. He paid the penalty that you owe. 3 days later, he arose from the dead, demonstrating that he has the power of life, power over death. And now he invites you to come to him and trust him as the only one who can take you to heaven. By the way, he is the only one who can take you to heaven. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we're going to be saved, it's going to be through Jesus, not through anything or anybody else. And so, I'm saying that this matter of salvation, Jesus shed his blood and died on Calvary's cross for me and for you so that we could go to heaven. He opened the door of heaven and now invites us, whosoever will may come. Now again, this is basic and foundational, this matter of salvation. Without this, things I'll say later in the sermon won't mean anything. If you're not saved, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you'll come today. When I finish, we'll give an invitation and invite you to come and trust him, and I hope that you will. Put your faith in him as the only one that can take you to heaven, so that when you face the storms of life, you'll have the assurance that you belong to God. Have you noticed that we're much more concerned about caring for our own than about what's not our own? For example, if you're at home, if you have little children, you're at home and a bad storm comes up and the lightning starts flashing and the wind's blowing and you turn on the weather and they give a tornado warning or a tornado watch. Now, your kids are outside playing with the neighbor kids. What do? Well, you go out there and you don't get the neighbor kids inside, but you do get your kids inside. Why? Well, because they're yours. And it's natural that you take care of and protect and help your own. I read about some time ago a building in New York that was on fire and burning. And somebody noticed an old mama cat. Now, I'm not particularly a cat fan. Dog is man's best friend. Cat is man's worst enemy. I'm kidding about that, but I can live with a cat or without one, mainly without one. But anyway, somebody noticed this cat, and the cat was going back and forth into and out of that building that was burning. I mean, the cat went, you know, so like one of those fire walkers from wherever they're from, walking across the embers and so forth. What that mama cat was doing, she'd go in, pick up a kitten, one of her kittens. You've seen how they do it, right? Same way I picked up my kids, right? But, you know, the cat grabs hold of the kitten by the back of the neck and carries the kitten. And the cat did this five times, rescued five kittens. Now, you know why? Because they were hers. Now, I don't know. There may have been dozens of other kittens in that burning building. But if there were, that cat didn't worry about all those others. Why? Because they weren't hers. But those that were hers, she took care of. So I'm simply trying to get you to see that we're more concerned about caring for our own naturally than about caring for that or those which are not our own. God is the same. The main reason why these shipmen made it through the storm was this. Paul, who was on board that ship, belonged to God. And nothing was going to happen to Paul until God was ready. My dear friend, when you face the storms of life, you need to know that you're God's. I read of a little girl, 10 or 11 years old, that sat on board a ship that was crossing the English Channel. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever crossed the English Channel, but it's very rough. And this terrible storm caught that ship, and this little girl just sitting there. And, I mean, everybody else was panic-stricken and worried about what was going to happen. This little girl just sat there calmly. And somebody finally looked at her and said, "Young lady, why are you so calm? Why does this not bother you? You see, everybody, all the rest of us are scared to death, yet you act like you're not scared at all." She said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Why not?" And she said, "Well, you see, my father is the captain of this ship, and he'll get me through the storm." Friend, when you face life storms, you need to know that it's your father who is the captain of your ship. You need to know that you are God's. And if you're not saved, I urge you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ today and become a part of God's family. Okay, now what I'm going to say from now on is for people who already know that they're God's, or people who will come to know that they're God's by trusting Christ today. People who are already saved, all the rest of these things apply to. So the first thing that we need in order to make it through the storm, we need to know that we're God's. Secondly, we need to know that we're serving God. Look again to verse 23. Paul says to the people on the ship, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, first whose I am, and then and whom I serve." See that? Not only did Paul know that he belonged to God, but he knew that he was serving God. Now listen, you can't serve God until you first belong to God. But once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you belong to God and are saved, then you need to start serving God. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that we ought to serve God just so He'll help us in the storm. The truth is, we ought to serve God if He never helps us in any storm. I mean, God has been so good to me already, just in saving my soul, that if He never did another thing for me, and He's done many, but if He never did another thing for me other than save my soul, I ought to serve Him gratefully and gladly for the rest of my life just because of that. And so I'm not saying that we ought to serve God just for the purpose so that He'll help us when the storm comes. And in fact, if the only reason that you're serving God is so He'll help you when you have trouble, I don't believe that you'll continue to serve Him indefinitely. You'll drop out of the ranks like a lot of people have. But what I'm saying is this. When storms come into our life as a Christian, we need to be able to pray with confidence that God is listening. And you can only pray that way if you're serving God. When you face storms, you need to be able to go to the Lord with this confidence. "Lord, I'm not just serving You to use You as a spare tire. I'm not doing that, Lord. You know it. You know that I try to serve You whether there's a storm or not, and I need You to help me now with this storm." Now, God is much more likely to help the Christian who can pray like that sincerely than he is to help one who never has any time for God except when a storm comes. Well, let me illustrate. Suppose two church members come to me separately, but they both come to me and tell me that they're in terrible financial shape, they need financial help. Now, by the way, if that's your problem, I'll pray for you. Don't come to me expecting money. Believe me, there are people that do that, go from church to church trying to get a few bucks here and a few bucks from the church down the road and a few bucks from the church over there. So don't come to me with telling me about how you have financial trouble expecting me to hand out money to you, because I won't do it. You're welcome. But I might try to do something to give you some help. Now, but what my illustration is, suppose these two church members, one of them is a faithful, loyal church member. They're here every time the doors are open. They serve the Lord as best they can. The other one, I don't even know them. They came one service 10 years ago and think we owe them something. Now, you answer the question, which one of those two do you think I'll be more likely to go out of my way to try to help? I'll try to help the faithful church member. You own a company, a business, and have two employees. One of those employees is a good worker, top-notch, always on time, always works when it's time to work, doesn't slough off, isn't a clock watcher. I mean, they're a good, solid worker. The other one is the sorriest employee that you've got. They're always late. Every time you turn your back to them, they quit working. Now, both of them have trouble and come to you for help. Well, which one of those two are you more likely to go out of your way to help? I think the one that's a good employee. All I'm saying is that the Christian who's serving God can go to God and ask for help in the storm with much more confidence than the Christian who's not serving God. And so then, what we need to get through the storm? Number one, we need to know that we're God's. Number two, we need to know that we're serving God. Number three, we need the Word of God. Verse 25, I love this verse. Paul's still talking to the folks. He said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." See, the Lord had that angel tell Paul, "Paul, you're going to make it, and everybody on board this ship's going to make it." Now, the ship's going to be wrecked, but the people, I've given them all to you. So comfort and assurance was found in the storm because of the Word of God. Paul got the word from the angel God sent. And Christian friend, you need to get familiar with the Word of God so as to have comfort when the storm comes. I've seen Christian after Christian find comfort through the Word of God when facing storms. I've seen Christians, when they faced the storm of the death of a loved one, find comfort in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I've seen Christians who faced the storm of times of loneliness find comfort through Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where the Lord said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I've seen Christians who were facing the storm of the temptation to fear find comfort in Psalm 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" I've seen Christians who faced the storm of being troubled about dying find comfort in Psalm 23 in verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I've seen Christians face the storm of being worried about their needs being met find comfort in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So we need the word of God. Number four, we need the guidance of God. Now let me read from verse 23 down through verse 26. This is Paul talking to the other people on board the ship. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." God's word through Paul here gave guidance to the people on this ship. They were told by what God said what was going to happen in the future, and thus they received guidance. Now, we need guidance when we face the storm too. And the guidance is in the Word of God. Paul guided the people on the ship. And then, finally, number five, we need the people of God. The truth is that God spared all the others on board the ship in this account in Acts 27 because of their connection with Paul, God's man. Verse 24, this angel Paul said to him, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo," now get this statement, "God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." So the Lord said, now Paul, you're going to be all right. You're going to get to Rome where you're going to stand before Caesar, and I've given all the rest of these people on the ship into your hand. They'll be spared the death from shipwreck as well. See, if Paul hadn't been on that ship, lives would have been lost. I'm sure of that. Now, you read the story. You'll find Paul, the man of God, one of God's people, guided these people all through the chapter, telling them what they should do. They didn't listen to him at first, so they got in this storm. But in the storm, the Lord used Paul to guide them through it. Now, when the storm comes, my dear friend, you need God's people. You need God's people. You know the thing about being a part of a church like this? You have trouble. Now, the people may not be able to do one thing as far as personally helping you, but they can pray for you. And that may be the best thing anybody can do. And so you'll face storms in your life. When you face them, you need these things that I've mentioned this morning. And first and foremost, you need to know that you belong to God, that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't, I hope you will today. George, come on and help me with this. Well, he can get it. We're going to try to sing a song. Hand me my guitar if you will. Now, maybe you can move this chair over just a touch so we'll both have not too far. I brought one for you too, in case you need it.
Stick with this side here.
All right. We're gonna try a song here, and I'm gonna try to play it. So. In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face? While the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to cry, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the sky.
When the long night is ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Thank you, George.
Can you put it back? Can you put this back there?
Thank you. And one day, the storms will be over. But until then, while the storms last in our life, we need these things that we saw from Acts 27. And I urge you and plead with you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you can't pinpoint some time in your life when you purposely, deliberately, consciously prayed to the Lord and asked Him for His salvation, if you can't go back to that, you know, I say a lot of times, sometimes folks come and have children with them, and I've seen some of them, you know, now we, at least this is what we're supposed to do. I think this is what we do. We deal with each person individually. I mean, if mama has to tell you you're saved, you're probably not. But I've seen mamas, boy, they wanted to answer every question. You talk to the kids, you say, oh yeah, he's saved. You know, I wanted to. I ain't talking to you, old lady. Shut up. Everybody thought that was funny, except the old ladies. Now all the old ladies are laughing, so you won't know it was them. But if you can't pinpoint a time that you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I trusted Him as my Savior when I was 18 years old. It's been a long time ago. March the 24th, 1976. Now, I'm not saying that you can that you know the exact calendar date. Now, I know the calendar date when I got saved because I made it a point to know what day it was. But you may not be able to give the calendar date. But if you're saved, you'll be able to remember an experience when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And if you can't do, if you can't go back to that in your mind, I hope you'll come to Christ today. God bless you.